WTTS on demand.
What I'll start out with is I'll mention that years and years ago, I saw you at what used to be Deer Creek, now Verizon Wireless Music Center, on a triple bill with Matthew Sweet and Soul Asylum, I believe it was.
Okay, yep, I remember that.
And you you did an absolutely fantastic version of You Don't Miss Your Water, a Byrds cover. And the day I saw the show, I was in the lawn and I was being pestered by a kid who wanted to use a lighter. So I didn't get to hear all of it the way I wanted to. Is that still in your catalog by any chance?
No, we haven't done that in years and years. We might have only done that one night.
Ugh, break my heart, man.
I think that was just that one night.
Of course.
We might have done it way back at the 400 bar a few times, but it never was in the set all the time.
That's a shame. I'll stop holding my breath then on Wednesday.
The general idea has landed in a lot of our songs.
Yes, it has. And I am very appreciative of the... Are you all Cosmic American Music fans then?
Well, yeah, I would say so. You know, I mean, I remember the early days of the band. We'd rehearse like Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then maybe we'd have a gig Friday or Saturday, and then maybe either Friday or Saturday when we didn't have a gig, we'd get together, be some party somewhere, and we'd put on all these records that we were discovering, because these records kind of came out a little bit before our time. So there was record stores in Minnesota, and we kind of followed it backwards. You know, we discovered Sweetheart of the Rodeo, Gilded Palace of Sin, then moved into the band a bit, you know, Pink House, and music from Pink House, and all sorts of different albums that were in that vein. And, you know, so it was really exciting. And as we discovered it, the music we played for other people, you know, You Don't Miss Your Water was also on a soul album. Percy Sledge, I believe.
Yeah, and I think William Bell did a version of it too back in the day.
Yeah, so we went back on those records too, soul, country, but at the same time we were listening to the current music that was going on too. So it was kind of our lives were meshed in music in a way. It was a neat thing.
Talking to Mark Olson of the Jayhawks on 92.3 WTTS, and when you are playing live and you decide to tackle a cover song like that, what kind of stuff really do you guys like to sink your teeth into? What really lights you up and you go, I'm going to love playing this?
Well, we haven't done that for a while, to tell you the truth. What we've been doing is like working on, we relearned all of our songs when we came back together now in the past year. We relearned everything off Hollywood Town Hall, Tomorrow the Green Grass. Now we've set a course for some rainy day music stuff. The first album, we relearned and did a number of those because we did a show or two when that first came out. Now we've relearned a few Bluer. So it's sort of like we have this mountain to climb of all the years of the music we made, but to put it into our live set, that's what's happening right now.
Now, considering that and the plethora of reissues, which songs have surprised you on the second hearing when you've tackled playing them again?
Well, that's a good question, because there's been a lot of... You know, we had these certain songs that we always played during the years that I was in the band, at least. And now it seems like other songs seem to be working really well. And one of those songs is Red Song off Tomorrow the Green Grass. Another one was People in This Place on Every Side off the very first record. She's Not Alone off the Blue Earth record. And then some weird ones that never made it on the records, like Tomorrow the Green Grass and stuff like that. Now, the songs that we played a lot over the years, of course, were like Waiting for the Sun, Settle Down Like Rain, Nevada, California, Clouds, things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's other songs that we've now kind of rediscovered.
So you've kind of rediscovered the joy of your own catalog in the process of doing all this,
and
then.
A little bit, because, like I said, back when I was touring a lot, you probably saw us, and we probably did at maximum a 50-minute set, maybe an hour set. When there's three bands, that's all you do. So now we're doing, you know, we did a two-hour set the other night. So, I mean, we're getting to a lot of material, and that doesn't even count with the new record coming up here. That's been kind of our main focus is doing the songs off the new album, Mockingbird Time.
Now, when you reunited with the band on this lineup, which is I understand it's basically the Tomorrow the Green Grass lineup. Did you more or less pick up where you had left off, or was it as if you had entered the band completely brand new and had started over again?
Well, it was kind of picking up where we left off. It was sort of like a rehearsal that had been 2 months down the road. You know, not exactly, because everybody had had a lot of things go on in their lives. People had changed. You know, I mean, you have to expect that over the course of a decade or something like that, people are going to change a lot. And that's the way it is. And a lot of times people change for the better as they get older, you know, leaving some of the things behind them that were troubling them. And so that I just thought it was a good, but similar to how it was when I was in the group. The group's always been one that focused in on the songs, the singing, the playing, and getting ready for the show and doing a good job at the show, you know.
92.3 WTTS talking to Mark Olson of the Jayhawks. And back in the early to mid-90s, I was working record retail. And one of the things that sold us on hearing Counting Crows, August, and everything after was the harmony singing you provided, especially on Mr. Jones. What is it, in your opinion, coming from the performing side of it, what is it about the Jayhawks harmony singing that kind of lights a song up?
Well, that was just something that came natural to us. I don't know. Gary's voice is kind of high and mine's kind of low. And when we sing together, we listen to each other. We listen to the different intervals. And we try to match and move around and make it sound good to our own ears. I don't think that it's any sort of like magical equation. It's just one of those things. You know, there's a lot of things in life that just kind of happen. You know, how did you meet your wife? Or, you know, how did your grandparents meet? You just, or, you know, things like that, where you know, just these chance meetings and good things come from it. I would view that harmony as something like that.
I've heard the guys in the Bodines talk about the idea that back when they were all there and together, the idea that one of them had a voice that was a certain way and another one had one that was more mid-range and the other one was able to surround it. And somehow when the two of them would sing together, it was as if a third voice had emerged that neither of them could do on their own. Does that kind of feel like that to you?
Yeah, sometimes there's definitely songs where that works, where that definitely happens, you know, where we really get going. And it feels like it's a really a third voice. Yeah, people have talked about that. That's just the harmony thing, because it creates a sonic overtone, and that's what people are talking about there.
Talking to Mark Olson of the Jayhawks on 92.3 WTTS. And is this the first time the Jayhawks have been self-produced, and was it easier or harder having your co-conspirator on the other side of the glass for this?
Well, I think it was easier, personally. I really enjoyed it. I think everybody was able to pitch in. There wasn't any sort of, like, mystery as to what we were doing. What we were doing was trying to get the best versions of the songs we possibly could. We you know, we know how to go down that road, how to work on the tempo, finish up the lyrics, get the singing going, you know, all the different elements that you use on a record. I enjoyed it, and so for me, it was a good experience.
What is your ideal recording or performing environment when you're out there nailing the songs together?
Recording environment, I would say, a really nice studio with fresh air and a really good engineer. That would be my ideal recording environment, because then you can just sit there and, you know, you play your guitar and you sing and you work up your songs, and then you know somebody's going to be making it sound really good. I mean, better than you possibly could. I mean, I've done some engineering in my life. It's hard to do both at the same time. Some people can do it really well, but to engineer and perform takes a real discipline to detail. And sometimes I mean, it's just strange, but it's like when you listen to yourself sing and play, it's hard to check it in some way, and you just, it's weird. It's just a phenomenon like that. And as far as performing, I like... generally, I would say I like theaters, of course. You know, those are really nice with a stand-up section. So you have the both the sit people who want to sit, and then there's an area for people that want to stand and come up front. That's the ideal thing. We did some shows in Europe recently in these theaters where people were standing. And it was really exciting, you know, when they come right up to the front and they're in the mood to rock and roll. You know, they're in the mood to... really hear some music and move around a bit. So that's, that for me is the best.
Talking to Mark Olson of the Jayhawks on 92.3 WTTS. Mark, it has truly been an overdue pleasure. Welcome back. We're looking forward to seeing you live.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Looking forward to seeing you.